Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now the text. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. For several months, all over our area, I would see signs up. CCW offered. CCW offered. Generally, it was at a place that sells firearms. Some have classes. Boy, it's quiet now, isn't it? Some have classes to get your license for CCW. That means carrying a concealed weapons. Do you know that God gives us as Christians some weapons that we need to carry and conceal until just the right time? Now abideth three things: faith, hope, and charity. He names a lot of things in it. You know, if you live long enough, I love that word abideth. That means it's going to last. It's going to stay. In a world where things don't seem to last very long, we buy things according to the warranty that's on them, the guarantee that's on them. One time they had something on a television commercial, and Candy said, "Look at that. It's got a lifetime guarantee on it, a lifetime warranty." I said, "Yeah, the only problem of it is after you buy it off the infomercial and 3 years later it's broken, where do you go to trade it back in when the company is gone? Because it's here today and gone tomorrow." There's a lot of things that just don't last. If you live long enough, you will lose some things. We all do. And you don't count your closeness to God by what you have lost. You count your nearness to God by what you have left when you've lost everything else. Oh, glory to God, I feel preaching coming on. It is what you have left when everything else is gone. When the money is run out and the friends are gone, and you're at that place where nothing seems to satisfy you any longer, it's what you have left. You guard a lot of things in life, but you better guard three things more than anything else. And they better be the three that's left when everything else is gone. Because those are the three weapons that you have, that if you carry them with you and you conceal them at just the right time, the Lord will use them to defeat your enemies. We do have an enemy. The older I get, the more I'm convinced Satan doesn't want my car. He doesn't need it. I don't even know if he has a driver's license. He doesn't want my house. He doesn't even want my health. He doesn't want my happiness. He doesn't want any of those things. He doesn't want my bank account. You say, wait a minute. He attacks all those things. Yes, he does. He attacks all of those things because they are attached to those other three things. That's what he's really after. He wants your faith, he wants your hope, and he wants your charity. In the end, if he can destroy those three things, he has destroyed you and he has destroyed me. What do you have left when all the other things are up? Can you still say, I have faith, I have hope, I have charity? The devil needs to understand, just because he comes against us in an attack and he can't see it, it doesn't mean that we don't have it. Really, when you're dealing with it, all of these are things that you can't see. The word charity here means agape, which is a kind of love that we give. It's charitable. We have charity, but the charity is based on love. You can't hold love in your hand. You can't measure it with a cup. You can't find it under a microscope. You can't find faith. Faith is invisible to the eye. You can't find hope. The things that he's talking about are the things that's not seen. But to us that are saved, they are real. One of our friends here in the church offered a few years ago, a couple years ago maybe, to drive us to one of our meetings. And we were way off in a meeting up north. And when we were coming back through, we came through one of the little towns there. The speed limit is a little lower, and we were going a little bit above it, but I wasn't driving, so I can go ahead and say that. So the lights came on, and we pulled off the side of the road. When they pulled off the side of the road, I noticed the driver kept his hands on the wheel. And then I noticed the police officer came up beside the vehicle, up against it. I could see the police officer, but looking in the side view mirror. And then I heard a voice, Mr. So-and-so, do you have your weapon on you? And the response was no. But cautiously he came up to the vehicle, because evidently it was triggered on that he had a license to carry a concealed weapon. God says, I'm giving you a license to carry three concealed weapons, that you trust me. If the devil knows we're licensed, he's going to slip around and he may bother some things attached to us. But when he gets so close, he's going to say, do you have your weapon on you? Glory to God. And if you've got faith, hope, and charity, you can defeat him every time. What it is, we spend our time guarding what is the least valuable. He said, his church age, the Corinthian church age that he's writing to, he said they were absolutely overwhelmed with their ability to speak. The tongues that had been given to them, the gift that they had received, they were overwhelmed with that. But he said, you know, it's not, don't guard the fact that you can make sounds. Don't guard the fact that you can talk, because if your talk isn't backed by the fact that you have faith, hope, and charity, it means nothing at all. You're just making noise. I know a lot of people that know how to make noise, but they don't have anything solid behind them. I'm not only looking for people that know how to make noise, but they understand the noise they make is not because they are lifting themselves up. It is because deep within their soul abides faith, hope, and charity. Some were guarding the fact that they'd made sacrifices. Though I offer my body to be burned,
This was a time where martyrs were dying for the cause of Christ, and they made tremendous sacrifice. And he said, that's what really matters, the fact that I not only make some noise, but I make some sacrifice. There's a lot of people that they make a lot of noise because of the sacrifice they make. When they do it, they have to say, look at me. Look at what I've done. I want everyone to know I did this. Truth be known, the people that make the real sacrifices in this church are never seen on this platform. Quiet now. Yes, you see me. Yes, you see Brian. Yes, you see the singers. Yes, you see the people up front. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people making sacrifices back there that you don't even see. You don't know what they're doing. Where's all the shouting at now? They are. They're making sacrifices. No one knows it. When they put their offering in, it is the widow's mite. No one sees the things that they're doing because they won't let you mention their name or talk about them. And oftentimes, they'll come to me and say, preacher, whatever you do, don't say anything from the pulpit about it. But yet, they're making sacrifices. You'd be hard-pressed to come to this church very often in a week, throughout the week, and not find Phil back here. We know he cleans the church. But in addition to that, every job they go to do around here, I don't care if it was building that walkway over there, anything else, he jumps in and does that too. Yet I never hear him say a word. But Phil, thank you. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing, brother. The Lord will reward you for all of it. There's people that sit back here in these seats that if I called their name today, you wouldn't even know who they are. But they don't fail to ever spend time, hours in prayer for God to anoint these services and bless these services. They let me know that they are praying for the preaching, praying for the singing. It's not our singing, it's not our preaching. It's the fact that it's been soused in kerosene. And when they come to the place that the fire of God falls, it's because somebody has soaked us with the glory of God and the power of God and those sacrifices. It's not overlooked from God. People that do all kinds of things. I bother Judy, I'd say 15 times a week, some weeks, 10 times a week, just to keep up with everything, all the flowers that go out and all the things. She doesn't get paid for that. Sacrifices. I'm still preaching right now. People that cook the food and take care of families when they're sick and come and serve. And people up here on Saturday, yesterday, up there serving. Sacrifices. It's great to watch people sacrifice. We've got people that every Sunday morning we pick up a wonderful bulletin that we can do. You know how much time it takes to copy those off and to fold those and have those ready and being bombarded from all sides and having a preacher that doesn't proof his stuff, sending it to him to correct all the typos and all the errors. It takes a lot of time to do that. See, that's something anybody can do, but most won't. I'm still preaching. Don't worry, it's going to get better. He said, some people, though, they just guard their sacrifices. We like to talk about the time we spend and the effort we put in. He said, but you know, some people, they guard the fact they make a lot of sound and they make a lot of sacrifice. And I appreciate people that make the sacrifice and don't make the sound. Some people make a lot of sense. He said, if I have all knowledge, if I understand mysteries, wouldn't it be great to have somebody that you could sit down and talk with that they'd say, yeah, I know the answer to that. I know what's going on, though I know all of those things and have great knowledge. He said, you need to understand there'll come a time when you can't sacrifice any longer. There'll come a time you can't make another noise. And there'll come a time that what you want to say may not even make sense. A stroke may come upon you and you may be trying to communicate and it make no sense. But just because you can't make sounds any longer and just because you can't make any more sacrifices and just because you can't make sense to anyone around you, it still doesn't mean that you have lost your license to carry faith, hope, and charity. When those things are gone, they're still there. Why are those things significant? Why are they important? Well, it's because of the fact with faith itself. You know, we overlook the importance of faith in our Christian life. Faith is the most important thing that we can have. We know that faith is the basis of our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. We know that it's our belief in what Christ has done. It's our belief in the fact that Jesus died and rose from the grave. Without faith, we don't have any hope. Without faith, there is no basis of salvation. We know that the blood of Jesus was God's way of reaching down to man, but faith reaches back to God and accepts the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you try to operate in your Christian life without faith, you'll be in serious trouble. Guard faith. Now, just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're going to be successful in everything. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're going to maybe at times find yourself down wondering, what am I going to do? The Lord looked at Peter one day and said, Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan desires to sift you, but I'm praying for you. You know why I was praying for him? He didn't say, I'm praying that you won't fail. He knew Peter would fail. He knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times. Before the cock would crow on the 3rd time, Peter would deny him 3 times. He said, when you hear that happening, you'll know that you have failed. He didn't pray that he wouldn't fail because the prayer would have been wrong. He could have prophesied to Peter and said, you're going to fail. Look at me. I don't care how much you try. I don't care what you do. There's times you just fail. You can't do it all. You don't have enough strength. It's not always that we're doing something wrong. Sometimes it's that we're not doing something right. But there'll come a time when you feel like you're just going to fail. But he said, I tell you what, I'm going to pray, Peter. I'm going to pray that their faith, the faith that you have, fail thee not. He said, you may fail, but Peter, faith will never fail. Faith will overcome the world. Faith will overcome the enemy. Thank God for faith that is there. That yes, you may fail and you may get knocked down. But faith, while you're lying down, says, I know I'm knocked down right now, but I'm thinking in my mind what I'm going to do when I get back up. I know I'm on a bed of affliction right now, but I'm thinking what I'm going to do when God gets me back up. Faith reaches beyond all the other things to say, I'm down, but I'm not staying down. I'm getting up again. I'm going to do something for the glory of God. Faith will never fail you. Never fail you. You cannot see it. You cannot hold it. It's like God at perfect times says, at the right time, faith will show up. Sometimes it doesn't show up through your pastor. Sometimes it shows up through little kids. Oh, glory. There's a family here in our church that had a child that died. They have other children. Back some time ago when that child died, one of the youngest children there at the funeral home said, what are you crying for? Don't misunderstand me. You got a right to cry when your loved ones die. But the child was a little confused. Said, what are you crying for? He said, well, because your sister died. I said, well, wait a minute. Didn't you say she's in heaven? Faith shows up in little kids sometimes. I wish you'd help me preach this morning. Faith shows up in little old ladies with canes sometimes. When the devil says you're not going to make it, you're not going to get through, and all of a sudden you hear the tapping of a cane, and there's somebody whispers in your ear and says, hold on, child, I've touched heaven for you, and you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. Faith shows up sometimes in a word of testimony that God says, you better listen to this one. I sent this one down this morning, not for hundreds. I sent it just for you. Listen to what they're saying. They're going through the same thing you're going through. It is that wonderful testimony when you lose your job of somebody that says, you know, there was a time in my life when I didn't know how I was going to make it, but faith stepped in. Faith sometimes shows up through the greatest testimonies in life, through saints that you don't know anything about. And what's going on? A few days ago, I faced a mountain that only God knows about. It took nothing but faith to overcome it. And I went back to years ago, the testimony of Jimmy's dad, Jimmy Payne's dad. And it was the fact that he couldn't go pay his electric bill, I believe it was, going to try to pay his electric bill. And he knew he had to be honest, and he didn't have the money, and the bill was due. And he put on his coat, said, I'm going to go down and look as good as I can, and meet him and tell him I'm going to pay this bill. I'm an honest man, but I don't have it right now. He said, I'm walking down the road, down the street, saying to myself, God, you're going to take care of all of this. And he said, I got to crying, reached in my pocket to get my hanky out to dry my tears, and said, I found a wad of money in there, enough to pay that bill. Tell me that God can't take care of his own. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You can go on your way and doubt that God can do it, but I'm here to tell you, he can do anything. Faith, you may not see it, but at just the right time, faith will raise you up, and faith will strengthen you in your battle. When the devil sees you really believe, he's in trouble. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Without hope, there's no ingredient in faith. Hope is the main ingredient of faith. What is hope? Hope is a desire to see something greater beyond the restraint that you have right now. The Bible says that we are saved by hope. The Bible says we rejoice in hope. The Bible talks about Abraham, that he had hope against hope. God had promised that he'd bring a great nation out of it. All the nations of the world would be blessed. And if a man could number his seed, they could count the stars in the heavens. But all of that passed with the passing of time. And finally, he got beyond all hope at an age where it was impossible to have children. But hope against hope. He said, even if it makes no sense, I've got something bigger than sense. I've got something that reaches beyond logic and reaches beyond understanding and reaches beyond history and reaches beyond sound and reaches beyond all of those things. I've got a hope, a lively hope, a hope that is the anchor of my soul, a hope that only let me drift so far and go so far, a hope that'll pull me back in when I need it, because without hope we're the most miserable of all mankind. But our hope in Jesus Christ goes beyond the grave and reaches to a better place. Without hope, there is no faith. Faith and hope. Used to have an old dog. His name was Shep. Pam and Angie remember Shep. He's named after the old song. You know the old song, Shep? Find out how old you are. I remember the time at the old swimming hole when I would have all but drowned. But old Shep was right there to the rescue he came. And he jumped in and dragged me right out. Oh, I'm hitting your country roots this morning, aren't I? That old dog was named after that song, that old song, Shep. Because it's about the loyalty of that dog. Old Shep was a German police. At that time, a German police, we didn't know anything about pit bulls. But at that time, old Shep was what you wanted when you lived 16 miles out of town. And a state force was the next thing to you. And you didn't want to shoot somebody, you had old Shep. Stay with me. A lot of thieves in that country at that time. But old Shep, he was always there. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd start barking. They didn't have to see him, Bob. They just had to hear him. He had one of those barks that said, you take one more step on this property, I'll eat you alive. Now, we knew what others didn't know. Old Shep had a chain on him. We had to keep him chained. Because, see, he didn't know where our property lines were. He'd want to get on out there where he didn't belong sometimes. So we had to keep him restrained inside those certain property lines. And we always felt confident about that. Until one day our neighbor's chickens was on the other side of the property line. An old chef saw something stronger than the chain. He had a hope. Chain or no chain? Shep said, I'm having chicken for lunch today. Boundary or no boundary? I'm getting out of this today. The chains will be broken today. And you know what? Shep forgot he was on a chain. And he broke it and he cleaned the whole hen house out. By the time he got done, had to make restitution. That's an old word. Some of you don't know about it, but that meant you had to make it right with your neighbor. And old Shep, he saw something greater than the chain. You don't hear what I'm saying. Hope is greater than the chains that bind us. Yes, the devil says, I've taken your help and you're down, but I've got a glimpse of something on the other side that is greater. And there'll come a time where hope will get so lively inside of me, I'll have to break the chains and head out of here. There's a time when nothing can hold us here any longer. That hope goes beyond all of that. Hope. Now, if you don't have hope, you lose hope. You don't guard hope. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't guard the hope in your life, no need to meet with me. Because I'm not going down with you. Look at me. I love you, but my elevator gets off at the first floor. If you're going to the basement, I'm stopping and getting off. I'll help you. I'll help you as long as I can. But if you are determined to be hopeless, I cannot help you. If the Lord refuses to do it, why should I do it? That means you need to listen. You need to hear what I'm saying. Some of you are holding on to things and holding on to people that they have made up their mind they have no hope and they want no hope. And you keep trying to hold on to them. And you better guard faith, hope, and charity. Because if you let it go too long, they'll drag you down too. Don't let anything take faith, hope, and charity out of your life. You can be loving and kind, but you better break ties and go on. Because if they go down, you're going down with them. You look right here. If you lose hope, I'll cut you loose in a skinny minute. I will not go down. If you want to mope and whine and cry, do all of it you want to. But I'm here to tell you, if you are really saved, down in the depths of your soul, it's okay to get down a little bit. It's okay to have tough days. But there is something inside of you that says, it's not going to stay like this forever. There's coming a time when things are going to turn around and God's going to let me get a glimpse of something beyond the property lines, and I'm breaking the chains and I'm getting out of here. Some of you have been bound so long in the situation you're in because you have lost hope. You are convinced it is hopeless. But I'm here to tell you, you're saved by hope. You're saved by hope. You have to have hope. If you don't have hope, there's nothing to reach forward to. Hope and charity. Love. What do? When the love is so great, you have to demonstrate it. Charity. Sometimes you don't have to work it up, it just comes out. You have to. I get amazed every now and then, Bruce and Jamie, when they'll talk, testify. They'll talk about people not liking them and resenting them. That amazes me. You know what I found out? Anybody does anything for God, people don't like them. They will. They'll attack him. But I'm glad that we are in a church that has enough charity that says, you know, you don't have to act like I act. And you don't have to worship quite like I worship. But if you're getting a job done, bless God, I'm going to help you get it done. I don't have a testimony like that to share with people. But I'm going to help someone that has a testimony like that. A fellow came to me some time ago and said, you know, we want to start a big mission. We've got a goal in our town to start a big mission. Told me all the things. And all of that's good. And finally I looked at him and I said, well, can I ask you something? He said, yes. I said, what mission do you support now? And he said, pardon? I said, well, what mission that's doing those kind of things, what mission do you support now? And he said, well, we don't. I said, who do you think you are? Come to me and act like you've got a heart for something. You're not giving a dime toward it. Who do you think you are? He said, well, what do you mean? I said, God's not going to bless that. In other words, you're saying the only thing that can be blessed is what I do. Our church doesn't have a mission, but thank God for years and years and years and years and years they supported the city mission. We may never have a mission like that. But one thing about it, we have a heart for a mission like that. You understand what I'm saying? One is charity to say, look at me. The other is charity to say, look at God. There's a big difference between the two. One lets God be seen through it all. And the other says, look at what I'm doing. I've got to be lifted up. You've got to see me. The truth of the matter is real. Charity will move on your heart. Even if you know them or you don't know them. You don't have any idea. It's just charity. You're in the line at the drive-thru getting your breakfast. And God says, pay for the car behind you. You say, I don't know who they are. God said, that's all right. I know them. Go ahead and do it anyway. Charity goes beyond those kind of things of understanding it all and explaining it all. I'm saying, whatever you do, don't lose charity. Because that charity, that love, it's as strong as death. It's what the Song of Solomon says. It's stronger than the grave. I said it yesterday at the funeral and I'm going to repeat it today. Why do you think that love is stronger than death and stronger than the grave? Because there'll come a time where they'll take my body and plant it out here on the hillside. I will be dead. But I hope, I pray to God, something I've done will stay with you. I hope my love for you will stay with you even when my body is gone. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Now, I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm not looking for something that ends at the grave. Not only that, but I'm not only looking for a day when I'll receive the rewards for the things I've done in this body. But I'm also looking for the day that when I die, people will understand the passage of Scripture. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, and their works do follow them. You know how your works follow you? I'm getting ready to close. You know how your works follow you? If it's based on eternal love and eternal things, it will follow you. If it was but for a moment of time, for vainglory, it'll go in the casket with you. It's all why you're doing it. Why do you give? If you're just giving, oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God, the power of the Holy Ghost. By the way, can I add this? The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And you better read what's right in front of that. It is our hope of the glory that makes the difference. When you have faith, you have to have hope. And when you have faith and you have hope, you have charity. And charity says it'll go beyond all those things. And when you reach that place in your life where you understand, man may not see it and man may not know it, but God, you see it and you will take it and bless it. And yes, it may be that we're dead and gone before our family understands how much we love them and how much we wanted to see them saved, but it'll follow them and it'll keep going and it'll keep going and it'll keep going. Whatever you do, guard those three things. Faith, hope, and charity. You say, preacher, nobody likes me. Because you're mean. You come to me, I know you want something. You never come to me and say, I'm praying for you. You never come and say, what can I do for the church? No, you come to complain. And you want to kill faith, hope, and charity. Demonstrate faith without love. And see what happens. Demonstrate charity without faith and see what happens. Try to have hope with no faith. It is impossible. And try to show charity without hope. When you do it, why do you do it? Someone says, why do you help out that old drug addict and why do you help out that old alcoholic? Because I have hope they'll change. You say, well, you might waste a lot. Well, you have to be prudent. I understand that. Sometimes I can't do it for them. I've got to do it for the kids. Sometimes I can't do it for them. I've got to do it for their spouse. But we do it because we have hope. What do you have? Here all this time you thought the devil wanted your things. It's not what he's after. He's slipping up beside the vehicle saying, are you carrying? And if he finds out you're loaded with faith, hope, and charity, he'll say they not only have the license, they have the weapons. And those are weapons of mass destruction. Faith, hope, and charity.